Thanks again, Tim and music team. As David read the Ephesians passage, that phrase about being worthy of the Lord's calling really hits home. Just, He has called each of us to Himself. And without Him, we are not worthy to be part of His kingdom. Anyway, let's get on to the main message is from Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 15 through 20. It says, the Son is the image of the invisible God. You will notice that Son is capitalized in most translations these days, speaking, of course, of Jesus Christ. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Now, a couple of Sundays ago, we considered this same scripture and focused on the deity and the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Jesus is 100% God, and He is supreme over all creation, both heaven and earth. Jesus was not created. He is eternal. He is God. He is one person of the triune God, and His existence did not begin in Mary's womb. His humanity began there, but His existence is eternal. The Apostle John wrote in his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." In the Colossians scripture we just read, in verse 18, it says that Jesus is the head of the church, the body, His body. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? If Jesus is sovereign Lord over all creation, then it's reasonable that He is also head of the church. If you believe the first part, the second part makes perfect sense. If Jesus is God, creator and sustainer of all, then of course He is the head of the body, the church. What might seem a bit more incredible is that He invites us to be His body. He invites us to be His church. The functional ministry of the risen Lord here and now. Think of us as the functional ministry of the risen Lord here and now. That's just awesome. It's incredible. One of Paul's recurring themes in his letters is that the church is the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians talks about how the different parts form one body. William Barclay wrote about this Colossians passage. He, Jesus, is the head of the body, that is, of the church. The church is the body of Christ. So Christ is the guiding spirit of the church, is It is at his bidding that the church must live and move. Without him, the church cannot think the truth, cannot act correctly, cannot decide its direction. And so we, the body of Christ, serve the head, who is Christ. We serve him, and the body is powerless without the head. Again, does that not make sense? I mean, you know anatomy well enough. The body is powerless without the head. And it is a privilege and a responsibility to be his body. It's an incredible privilege to be an instrument through whom Christ works. I mean, what other aspect of your life compares to being a servant of the risen Lord? Now, husbands, you might want to lean over to your wife and say, being next to you, babe, you know, that could, yeah, I'm just kidding. What other privilege do we have that can compare with being a servant of the Most High? I think if we let that aspect soak into our brain and into our soul every day, it will instruct our worship. It will revive our soul. It will inform how we parent, how we work, how we friend, how we lead. Knowing that we are servants of the King ought to improve our outlook. And as I said, there's also responsibility. We have to take care of our physical bodies, right? We have to get the right nutrition, and we have to exercise in order to keep our bodies fit. If we neglect or abuse our bodies, we become unfit and dysfunctional. We get sick. And as the body of Christ, if our lifestyle is undisciplined and careless, we will not serve his purpose well. If we, as the body of Christ, do not put the right food in us and we don't exercise our salvation, work it out, then we become unfit and we do not serve Christ well. We damage the body of Christ. And so we need to continue to work out our salvation. That's what it says in Philippians. Continue to work out your salvation because it's God who is at work in you. That's not a conundrum. God is at work in us, and we ought to be exercising our salvation, working it out, keeping it fit, learning, practicing, making good decisions to be a fit body to serve the Lord. As a church, as a unified church, when we allow ourselves to fuss and be unified, we're unfit to serve him well. Verse 18 also says that Christ is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Jesus is supreme over all creation. Like John wrote, through him all things were made that have been made. Jesus is before all creation in time. In fact, he created time. He's not bound by time. He is the Alpha, the first. And having been crucified on earth and resurrected from the grave, he is the firstborn among the dead. Now, obviously, he was not the first person to die, but he is the source of life. He's the headwater. And it's from his death and his life that comes the life of the church. Jesus brings the dead to life. He redeems life. He restores life. He creates in us a new person when we give ourselves to him. Jesus establishes the power to restore our soul to its created purpose and into kingdom operation. Even when we sin, even when we rebel against God, He is the power who brings us back and redeems us. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is supreme over all creation, and He is 100% God. Look at verse 19. God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. Nothing is left out. Jesus is God, fully God. And again, of course, we learn on the doctrine of the Trinity for our understanding. God is one. Deuteronomy 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. And yet, we know Him in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The church in Colossae, the people to whom this letter was first written, of course, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, they were dealing with some heresy. There were some who were trying to pull them away from the gospel by mixing in some other spiritual entities, you know, that basically that Jesus is not supreme and is not sufficient for salvation. That is the essence of that heresy, that there has to be something in addition to faith in Christ. And what Paul's writing here is said, no, that's not how you came to Christ. That's not what you were taught. Jesus is supreme. He is sufficient. He's God. You don't need other religious stuff. You don't need to worship the gods of the planets or the stars or rocks and trees and things. Jesus is sufficient. Nothing was held back from Jesus. He's not a mixture of God and man. He is fully God, and He lived fully as a human. And during His time on earth, He did set aside voluntarily aspects of His deity and yielded to the Father, but in His being, He was still God. And He is God. And just like Paul wrote to the Colossians, to us today, the best preventative to following heresy is to know the truth, to know the genuine. And we study the genuine and the Word of God so that we know who He is and what He has done. Nothing held back from Jesus. He went to the cross in our place. So that means God died in our place. God went to the cross in our place. The Son, person of God, died on the cross outside of Jerusalem and was buried in a tomb on Friday afternoon. And then on Sunday morning, He walked out of the grave, victorious over death. And in this action, the work of the Son provided reconciliation for us with God. He gave us the path to right relationship with God. He redeemed us who submit to Him. And it says He also owns the earth and all creation. And He will redeem all of creation that we have damaged by sin. He will redeem it all, remake it, restore it. Jesus is a redeemer. Through His own blood shed on the cross, He redeems. He purchased us with His blood. His blood pays the debt of our sin, our rebellion, and His act of redemption is the center point of all history. I mean, I think it's wonderful that our calendar is divided by BC and AD, right? before Christ and in the year of our Lord, because it reflects the very truth. Jesus Christ is the hinge point of the history of people, the history of this earth. His grace reaches back all the way to the Garden of Eden for the salvation of mankind since the beginning. His grace reaches forward for as long as we know. In the era of the church, His grace reaches forward to redeem all of those who will come to Him. He is the hinge point. It's right to speak of before Christ and in the year of our Lord. Now, it's kind of popular today, especially in scientific circles and some history, to write CE, Common Era, or before CE, BCE. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I just think it avoids the truth. You know? But people want to write things like that so we don't offend anybody and so we don't press them into our religion. It doesn't matter whether you follow Christ or not. It's the truth. He's the center of history as we know it. All that we know or ever will know of history. His death pays for the redemption of all people of all time. And only those who would have faith will receive His grace. But He has already paid the price from the beginning to the end of this earth. And when He returns, He will redeem all creation. And we will get to see His creation in shalom, in perfect peace as He designed it. I want us to just close this time out with prayer this morning. Would just right where you are, would you focus on Jesus Christ as the head of the body, the church, and would you give Him praise? We serve Him. He is supreme. He is God. He is our Redeemer. Just imagine yourself bowing to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Give Him thanks for your life, for your salvation. Would you pray for our team in the Czech Republic, those who are traveling tomorrow and those who are staying for another week? Would you pray for the ministry events coming up in the next 2 weeks that we would represent him well to proclaim the good news in and around the movie, the car show, the day camp? Would you pray for us, this local body of Christ, to keenly follow his lead? To the best of our ability, to be in the center of his will. Would you pray for your own family? Not only for your needs, but just that you as a body serve him well. Jason.